Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Angela Setti. Angela is the author of Opening Our Minds to Our Brain's Potential. And are we our children's teachers or are they ours? Get that. She is a speaker, certified brain health coach, movement and movement specialist, as well as an actor, model, and singer. Soon to open up Visionary Movement, a wellness movement and dance center. Amazing. So Angela, so happy to have you in this space. Welcome.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. And I want to welcome also the people that are here live. So happy that you're here. So Angela, the little bit that I read of your bio explains that little bit of who you are. Can you please expand and tell us more of your backstory of more about you?
Sure. Well, it's a long line of, I guess, basically studying about the brain and different things in my life leading me in that direction. And so a little bit about me would be that I use that information to help heal my daughter. And in doing so, I learned so much from her and so much from all of my kids that I feel like it kind of paved my way into the future of who I am today. I always loved movement. I've danced since I was very young. Mm-hmm. And so I've carried that with me, and I've also used my science background to do various things. But I guess the main thing that I could say about myself is that I'm an entrepreneur like many other people out there, doing multiple things and mostly spreading the word about brain health and how we can accomplish much more than we think we can in this lifetime.
Yeah. Well, that is an amazing message. And I love to hear how people, what their backstory is and what they'll tell about themselves. But I also want to point out and highlight before we dive into the questions is that you were a dental hygienist. Right. That's like a whole other life. So you had that going on. You, like you said, you danced when you were younger and you did gymnastics, correct?
Correct. And I also did acting and singing and various creative forms as well. Yeah.
And you were incredibly shy.
Yes. Yes. And I believe my mom was so smart. She tried to get me involved in something that would, I guess, break these barriers down. You know, we sometimes build these barriers up, especially when we're shy or an introvert. That's hard to break through. And I feel like she was setting me up to push past all these fears.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's kind of that, it's so uncomfortable in the moment. It's like, why are you doing this to me?
but
That's exactly it.
like, why are you torturing me like this? But there's a reason behind it. And actually, if you could give a little bit more, and then we'll dive into the would you rather question about your daughter and what kind of helped set you on this journey, that would be wonderful.
Well, it's interesting because we're talking about fear, right? When it comes to accomplishing anything in life. And so what I found out through my mom pushing me and having me do these things that actually put me out of my comfort zone is that I never realized how much that was going to help me in life. And so my daughter developed a rare form of epilepsy called ESUS, which actually just affects your sleep. And basically, she was not sleeping pretty much throughout the whole night other than just laying there. And so what occurs in ESUS or any form of epilepsy is that you have a seizure. So she actually developed a fear of sleeping. Mm-hmm. Now, had I not have the extreme fear that I had with speaking and connecting with people and just all of those things that become intertwined, I may not have understood the fear that she was going through when she would try to go to sleep at night. So what I learned is that we all have the same reactions to fear. You know, our biorhythms get kicked up, our respiration rate increases, our heart rate increases. It's then hard to think clearly because it closes off our front portions of our brain. And there's so many things that goes on along with that. So I learned coping skills, but I also learned what I could do for my daughter to help her get as much rest as possible. And that set me down a journey of studying about the brain, studying about what we can do under extreme circumstances like these. And so it was quite the journey and quite the pathway I feel that I've learned that I can share to help others so that they can do as much as they want to do with their lives. And thankfully, my daughter is doing wonderfully right now. I've studied so many different techniques and so many different methods, from the ketogenic diet to exercise to music therapy. And all these things has not only helped her, but I feel like has become such a big part of my life. And I can't wait to share it with everyone and anyone, because these are all things we can do for ourselves.
Yeah. Gosh. So just to be clear, did you have much knowledge of brain activity and all of this prior to this with your daughter?
Well, it's kind of funny because I feel like my whole life, everything has been leading me to learn about the brain. It started way back when my grandfather had a stroke. And actually, that's what made me realize, you know, he actually lost his ability to speak. And that struck me in the heart at that time, because I thought, he can't speak and I won't speak because of my fear. And what a gift that is. So I think even way back then I started realizing, you know, our minds and our bodies work so intricately together. And so what I was, I guess, on a quest to find out is how to prevent things, and how we can learn through, I guess, each other. Because look, I learned through my grandfather, and, you know, I started studying the brain then, and then I kind of dropped the ball a little bit. Then my father-in-law came down with Parkinson's disease, and I thought I want to enable him in as much way as I possibly could. And then from there, you know, my daughter was struck with this, which is, you know, affecting her brain and her health in general. And then it just kept going further and further. My mom ended up with lung cancer that traveled to her brain, and then I dove deeper. And so I became, you know, not only a researcher, but like a brain hacker, basically.
Mm. God.
And on a quest to find answers. And even if I wasn't going to help my family, I thought, I can help somebody. If this can help somebody, what I know, then I have to try. And so that's became a quest of my life. That's why I wrote my book. That's why I'm opening, you know, the Visionary Movement, which is a movement wellness and dance center. And, you know, I'm so happy to be able to do that with my daughter, who is amazing at the things that she's learned through dance and movement and just through all of her experiences. So,
gosh, well, yeah, as we have our conversation, you're going to tell us more about that. And yeah, we'll really do more of a deep dive. And this was, I think what you brought up just kind of hit a chord with me as well. I feel like, and curious listeners, what you think, I feel like in our lifetime, we're presented with certain things that come up consistently, challenges. You could see them as challenges or lessons. And when I was younger, I had panic attacks and I was very shy and I always felt like I couldn't breathe, which was multiple trips to the ER. And then I learned, you know, started more mindfulness and learning how to take care of myself. But then fast forward to my husband, major asthma, was hospitalized with breathing issues. Both of my kids, asthmatic, especially when they were kids, like to the point of, and I had to learn how to be calm. And yeah, just very interesting. It just kind of makes me laugh, but I'd be like, really?
You know, I always feel like when something keeps presenting itself, and I say this to any clients that I work with, it's always something that needs to be explored. Yeah. So, you know, the exploration into finding answers or finding the reason why something keeps presenting itself is a journey in itself, you know?
Yeah.
And can become your passion, like myself, you know? And I'm sure what you're doing exactly is because of what you've learned through your kids, through your experiences.
So. Yeah. 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 So powerful. Okay, this is going to be good. So let's start with our silly would you rather, and then we'll dive into the first question.
Okay.
So, Angela, would you rather have wings or a mermaid tail?
Oh, wow. That's, wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, I do so many meditative different things where I'm either swimming or flying. So it's interesting you asked that question.
So funny. Or
do I have to choose one?
You can make up. We can come up with a compromise. So go for it.
Okay. So maybe at night I want to fly, and during the day I want to swim like a mermaid.
Okay. That's the beauty of this space is we get to be. It's a creative space, so we get to. It doesn't have to be black and white thinking.
Right.
It's so funny. Okay. So, and I just have to say, when I pick these, they're just intuitive hits of which one I should pick. And they 99% of the time are like right on with somebody. So,
yeah. And I can't believe you even, you know, when you say that, because some of the visual stuff that I do, it's like I'm swimming or I'm flying. Very interesting. Yeah.
So funny. Okay. So let's dive into the first question. And just to reset, people joining us live, so happy that you're here. Please feel free to put any questions or comments into the chat box where we can see them. And we're happy that you're here. So Angela, how do you define creativity?
Well, I would say creativity is anything that you imagine or visualize in the mind's eye that you can then transform into something tangible that can either be seen or used. Mm-hmm.
So you see it within that mind's eye, within that third eye, would you say?
Well, you know, of course, there is the third eye, and some people aren't so in tune of what that may be. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the third eye. It's just a visual, I guess, concept of the mind's eye, meaning that you can see it. It's a visual thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way I use that in that kind of context, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Because the third eye can be another whole conversation for sure.
It's true. Yeah, you're exactly right. So isn't that feeling exhilarating? Like when you see it there and then you're like, okay, I have to make this real. I have to birth this and shape it and bring it into the three-dimensional.
Yes, absolutely. Sorry about the dog barking.
It's okay. It's real life.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that excitement. There can be that fear element. Initially, for me, it's always like an excitement of like, ah, okay, yes, I got this. This is so exciting. It's going to be of service to so many people. It's going to be, you know, people are going to really be engaged. It's going to help transform lives. Okay, now how am I going to do it? And then it's like, release the how. Don't get stuck in that, because then that's where the fear kicks in, right?
That's right. And, you know, there's so many people that say this, is that you don't actually have to have the how.
Yeah.
That comes as you go along. It has to start with the idea first.
Yeah.
So there's one quote that a friend of mine had given to me. It's actually on a plaque. And I look at this almost every single day. And it's such a great thing. It says, life is an art form that takes a lifetime to master, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it sits on my table and I write a gratitude journal in the morning. And, you know, just jot down whatever transpired from the day before. And I also have 10 desires written down in this journal that I read every single day. And the 10 desires are the 10 desires I would like to accomplish in my lifetime. So what happens is it sparks an idea. It sparks a thought process. And, you know, that's actually how Visionary Movement was created to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an idea.
Mm-hmm. So while we're here, tell us about this. Tell us about Visionary Movement.
So many, many years ago, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could combine like a multiple, I guess, form of movement with wellness in a place that could either be online or could be in a brick and mortar space or both. And so, you know, as time progressed, I first came up with the movement, the Visionary Movement, that is, idea, because it's a vision, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about what I thought creativity was, right? Was first a vision in your mind's eye. And that's kind of how I came up with the name. And then it just slowly started being incorporated in different things that I did. And then we started looking for spaces and I started doing things online. And so now we actually have, you know, a building, which is not too far from my home in New Jersey, in Sewell or Mantua, New Jersey, that was an old post office, and we're pretty close to finishing. So it's interesting how things can just slowly transpire, but it starts with just an imagination, just seeing it in your mind's eye. That's where it begins.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree enough. It's so many people, they get lost along the way because it doesn't happen immediately. It's like, well, it didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen in 30 days. It didn't happen in a year. So I guess it's not going to happen. And sometimes it does happen that quickly. And sometimes things take a little while to unravel and lessons are learned. And whatever it takes, it just doesn't unravel immediately. And it's the patience and taking action and just continually seeing it in your mind's eye, like you say. And
slowly building towards it. You know, it's funny that you say that because you said it so perfectly. I remember this was a while ago. I was reading in Time magazine, which I like to do periodically. And I was reading about past geniuses, you know, and what things that they did. And so I read this one thing about Leonardo da Vinci. Mm-hmm. And we know him as the painter, right? And all the things that he's created. But what I didn't know is his one painting that he did, which was The Last Supper. And he's I think, most known for that painting, especially in the religious aspect. And what he would do is he would actually take his paintbrush And sometimes he would only do one stroke, waiting for the perfect light and the perfect circumstances and things to align. And so I thought, wow, you know, if that doesn't really express that, you know, every stroke and every little step towards a direction, whatever vision you have, it does matter. So, you know, in my book, Opening Our Minds to Our Brain's Potential, I wrote about how everything you do does matter. You know, that one little stroke every single day will eventually add up and make a difference. And so we all know that today is like the butterfly effect, right? Mm-hmm. And so I live by that. That's like my mantra, because it took me 3 years to write this book, over 25 years of research of the brain. But the thing that was most important to me was not how long it took me to write the book, but the fact that this book could not just be a book that you read and you set aside, a book that you kind of can take with you. It's kind of heartfelt. It tells you about the brain, but through stories. And, you know, that was so important to me. That was more important to me than the amount of time it would take to finish it and write it and get it out there. Mm-hmm. And so something that you want to do, whether it's small or big, just remember, sometimes it's the baby strokes. It's the baby flap of the wings. It's the little steps. It's the little video that you did that you rewatch, or just the small, small things. And eventually one day they add up into something that maybe you never would have expected, or maybe you only hoped would have happened.
Gosh, that is so beautiful and powerful. It's crazy.
Thank you.
But yeah, it is. I mean, couldn't agree more. It's everything matters. And it is those little steps. And I love how you talked about Da Vinci and, you know, making that little stroke because he wanted the right light. He wanted the, so often it's said, and honestly, I've become more cognizant of it, that when you're rushing to do something, that energy is put into that space. Whatever emotion and energy you're feeling at that time is kind of like, okay, I'm rushing to do that. If there's that fear element, that anxiety, that's kind of what happens. Your body tenses up. But if you need to do something, but you're coming at it from a space of, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful I get to do this, or I'm so excited, or it feels different. It feels different, one, for your body, and it feels different into how other people respond to it as well. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. You know, we are feeling beings. And so even though we have our mind and we have our heart, you know, some people say, follow your mind. No, follow your heart. Follow this, follow that. You know, if we tap more into following our feelings, that's our heart and our mind combined, you know, because you can't really separate them. And that feeling, whether it's, you know, we could feel excited about something or we could feel down about something. And that energy we take with us. So we can work on that energy, whether it's, you know, some days we're not having such a good day, but how do you want to present yourself? What kind of feeling do you want to have? What kind of feeling do you want to share with others? Now, that's something to really work on. That's a creative process in itself.
yeah, agreed. So with all that you've learned about the brain, and I love how you're talking about within your book, you're talking about it with from a heartfelt space. And a lot of, you know, there's, when you think of the brain, you might think of the sciences and all this kind of stuff with a lot of big technology words where you're kind of like, what are they talking about? I don't understand. But you're making it accessible for people to understand. What is, I'm sure there's many things, but could you share with us like something as you've done your research and life experiences about the brain that has just really blown you away?
Wow, there's so many things that have blown me away about the brain. First is that how much we don't know about it.
Yeah.
and how much that it's, you know, every single day I'm learning more. And then once I learn, I backtrack and I'm learning that now there's new things. And that isn't so evident anymore. You know, it's now this. So just as fast as technology is moving, as fast as our science should be moving, but it's not. But if you actually go into and look into some of the newfound research, there's so many things that we could actually do that we're not really taking advantage of. Little things.
Like what?
Well, simple things as, you know, we talked about feelings and how the brain and the heart are connected. You know, starting your day off just by like putting your hand on your heart, putting your hand on your head, taking a deep breath in and feeling that connection. You know, that's connecting all three, your feelings, your heart, your mind, to work for you and be thankful for what you got in the morning. You know, it's like, I can take a deep breath in. So just some simple, simple things like that, that we can incorporate into our lives. And then as far as what I learned about the brain, maybe I'll talk about the creativity part, because it's something that we're talking about right at this point anyway. You know, in one aspect, we have our logical side of the brain, right? The other side of the brain is our creative side of the brain. And so you talked about happiness, right? Mm-hmm. We are actually happy when our brain is balanced. So that is key to living a happy life. So that means using both sides of the brain. And sure, you know, we can use our logical side and our reasoning and our scientific side. And you talked about me, you know, being a dental hygienist, right? Well, yeah. I was dental hygienist. I still have my licenses in two states. I actually use that along with my creative side, and that's when I felt best. You know, that's when I felt like I could accomplish a multitude of things. So, you know, we have this thick quarter, this thick band called the corpus callosum, which separates the right and left hemisphere of our brains, right? So the more we tap into both sides of the brain, this is why I think art is so vital and important in schools. The more we tap into both sides of the brain, we get like a permeability between the right and left hemisphere of the brain. And that's what creates genius.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, there's so many people that I've studied, like, you know, for instance, Einstein. You know, I talk about him in my book as well. And he had some disabilities, especially growing up.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that.
Yeah. He was really bad at math.
He could not make change. Hmm. You know, and it's just so interesting. But what actually helped him was he loved playing the violin. And he really attributes a lot of his genius to just letting his creative, I guess, meditative violin playing kind of guide him through a lot of his thought processes and just unleash and kind of let that inner child just be totally unlocked.
You know? So this is interesting. So then let me ask. So you're saying that the music was helpful in this process and like a meditative, a guide in order for, I'm guessing, you know, other things to then flow. Did it not have anything to do with sparking areas within the brain in order to help gain the information?
Well, here's the thing, you know, when we are scared, right, we close off the prefrontal cortex. So that is in order to protect ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So the prefrontal cortex is our higher level thinking. So we close that off so we can react quickly and we don't put too much time into thinking. We react. So what does that kind of say about our reaction mode, which we spend so much time during the day
Yeah.
In that mode.
Wow. Yeah.
So if we can then settle our biorhythms through meditative processes, through yoga, through dance, through playing the violin, through doing Tai Chi and slowing sort of our whole mind down and allowing the creative juices sort of to flow, like you said, because you used that word flow, which was actually a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. Imagine what we can do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes. We have what's called a full brain functionality going on. And that is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So it's in the balance of both spaces, because they say, are you right-brained or are you left-brained? It's like this focus on, well, which one are you? Where do you fall? Let me put a label on you. Let me put you in a container and categorize you.
Right. And a lot of people do that. Isn't that interesting? Oh, I'm right-brained. I'm left-brained. Well, you know what I'd like to say? I'm whole-brained.
Exactly.
I don't have a half a brain.
I don't have half a brain. Yeah. God, I'm writing that down. Yeah, because I think that's like a huge thing for me. I mean, so much I'm getting from this conversation, but yeah, I mean, there has to be labels constantly, doesn't there?
Yeah, labels put you in a box. Mm. So I don't like labels at all. So it's interesting because I feel like we label ourselves, but then we label other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to think that we are such highly functional human beings, that we have so many gifts, and somebody may have honed in on one particular gift and now it's amazing, but that doesn't mean that another person doesn't have something else to kind of attribute to that gift. Maybe not as highly honed as that other individual, but I like to think that we can all dabble in a multitude of different things.
Totally agreed. One of my biggest pet peeves would be, so being an art teacher, when the kids would line up outside the room before coming into the room, there'd be the identification of the quote unquote artist in the class made by the teacher who was dropping them off. So, somebody who was they just did this amazing picture and they are the artist of our classroom. And that would make me nuts because it's not taking away. If they said, Michaela made this picture, I really want you to see it, we're so proud of it, then that's, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I want to see that. But when there's this label put on that they are the artist of the classroom, I'm like, please don't do that. Because it's going to show up for others in different ways. I had a student who was so ADHD, constantly getting into trouble. But we did this project where we took pasta, and the goal was we scaffolded it and built up on the technique. But they took the pasta. All they had was pasta and glue. And they turned it into a car. And then we had a race in the end.
Wow. That's nice.
He was so good at it. That kid was so focused and so on point and so excited about what he was creating, because he really was like an engineer.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people think people with attention deficit disorder basically have, lack of focus and all this other stuff. And yeah, there you go. There's some more labels there. But what I studied through getting my certification through Dr. Daniel Amen is there's actually 7 different types of attention deficit disorder. I don't know if a lot of people know that.
No, tell us. Tell us a little bit.
So, if there's 7 different types of attention deficit disorder, just imagine that some of them, as far as lack of focus and some of the disorganization and that sort of thing, are similar, but some of them are quite different. And, these people can be like unbelievably focused when they have something that they're super interested in. You know, and it depends on, again, which kind of attention deficit disorder they have. And so they are very creative individuals. And sometimes it's just trying to get certain things in place as far as diet, as far as exercise. Exercise is number one key for them. That helps with focus. It helps with them releasing nervous energy. And look, it's good for all of us, you know, right, as anxiety levels and all these things. But they can be extremely creative. And sometimes, you know, it does, everybody thinks it's medication is what they need, but sometimes it's good fish oil. It's, you know, green tea. There's some simple things that, you know, even if you didn't want to take medication, you can do for yourself and become amazing. Because a lot of people like to think that once you have attention deficit disorder, oh, that now that's why I can't do it. You know, it almost becomes like either an excuse for them or an excuse for somebody else to say for them. And I think both of those is to a detriment to anybody that might have any form of attention deficit disorder, because these days we all have a touch of that with so many different things going on in our lives at once. Our attention span is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
So
thank you so much for bringing attention to that.
You're welcome.
We are going to move to the second question because of time. We're already getting close to that top of the hour.
Wow.
So I know, right? So we've spoken about some things, but I'm curious, like, how do you actually incorporate creativity into your own life?
Well, it's funny. I think because I look at creativity maybe as almost in everything you do. So maybe I look at it a little differently than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But for myself, I feel like it's in every aspect of my life. I mean, it comes from planning my day out. And, you know, when I sit down and I'm actually meditating, I feel like I'm tapping into my alpha waves, you know, which is your creative waves. So I'm switching off from beta to alpha. So I start that off first thing in the morning. And, you know, I usually have a pen and paper down because that's when all the wonderful ideas come. Your imagination starts to flow. And so I kind of start my day off like that. I guess right now I've been working on my audio book. I actually finished recording it. And so I feel like I'm using my creativity right now by using an app to help me edit it. And so I never realized how much that in itself is like a creative endeavor.
Yes.
Just trying to get the sound bites and, you know, the little crackles and, you know, it really made me feel like musical engineers really have a creative job.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And when you think about it, like, yes, within that, I immediately jumped to my husband as a TV film editor, and I would blow my brains out doing what he does because the repetition and the getting it down to, like you said, like the sometimes like the littlest point where you have to create the edit and then, you know, end it to take out components of it, but you don't want to miss another, you know, what preceded it. And it tells the story. I mean, you have footage of like tons and tons of footage, hours and hours and hours, and you have to narrow it down to, I'm just going to say, you know, 30 minutes. But meanwhile, you have 50 hours of footage.
Yeah. And that in itself, just being able to know like what would be the best, you know, like how to keep the best. And that's creativity in itself, you know? And so I'm learning that by trying to do my own editing and all of that. And then, you know, as basically an actress, things have changed so much since the pandemic. I mean, right now auditions, basically you're doing on your own. So you have to come up with your own visual backgrounds. You have to be your, you know, editor of your videos. You have to be able to submit via different
technology forms, depending upon what casting agent is sending it out to you and how they want it submitted. Wow. So all these are like creative endeavors. And then, you know, taking your own photographs and making sure you have the right lighting. And then that doesn't even include remembering your lines.
Like the actual thing that you're doing.
Right. So, I mean, I'll tell you what I learned, that creativity is in everything. It touches all of our lives, which is why I think it's so important what you're doing, because not a lot of people quite understand it that way. And so I think it's wonderful that you're allowing people to see this, to hear this, and maybe schools will incorporate it more, because today you have to be so multifaceted to be able to keep up with everything that goes on in life. You need to be able to do videos. You need to be able to speak. There's so many different things. And, you know, so there's some of the creative things that I've been working on besides our building, because, you know, Visionary Movement, we purchased not during the best time of this pandemic. So finding people to come in and help us, you know, contractors and stuff, that wasn't available. Finding materials, okay. My husband is really good at trying to figure out where we can get materials when there's none to be found, or the ones we find are just so expensive. Mm-hmm. And so that can be creativity in itself too, you know, just being creative about finding different solutions to problems that, you know, you either can't afford or you can't find or whatever else. So that in itself has been quite interesting as we've been going on. So, And then of course, I guess more creativity would be through videos. I've been doing TikToks.
Oh, wow. So how are you liking it?
Well, it's interesting because first, you know, it's always a learning process. I really believe that everything you do in life, you get better with time, right?
Yeah.
So Initially I started doing it and it was like brief little videos, you know, only 15 seconds. Then I'm like, oh, I can make this a little longer. This is great, because I was trying to speak so fast.
Yeah.
And trying to get it in. And so I kind of laugh at myself. I feel like that's my humor. Like I can laugh at the mistakes that I make as I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And so then I look back and I'm like, oh, isn't that funny? Okay, well, now I'll do it this way.
Uh-huh. Which is huge, because it doesn't stop you like, oh my God, I just screwed up. You're like, aha, okay, and you move on.
Well, right. And I think that being an actor or actress today, you kind of have to be like that. You do the audition. You don't know if you're going to get it or you're not going to get it. And I always say, and even before we talked, I say, whatever I do today, make it touch someone in the heart, in their mind, and help them in their life. And so I say that no matter what I do, that's what I hope for. Let this audition go to somebody that's going to either make sure that it's used in the way that will be most beneficial for me, for my family, for my friends, and then I send it.
I love that.
Because how else can you, you know, get through life if you don't do it that way, you know?
Yeah. It's not me.
It's, I feel like I have to take me out of the picture. Actually, that helps me with fear, believe it or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that makes me release not all the pressure on me. It's, you know, I'm sending it out there, and hopefully whatever I send out there is most beneficial for anyone it touches.
Yes. Yeah. I was recently at a training and I heard Les Brown say, because somebody asked him, how do you get up and talk in front of thousands of people? Like, how do you do that? And he said, when he made the transition of realizing it's not about me, it's about thee, it changed everything. And he was able to be like, literally like you know, just a funnel for information, where it just kind of were downloads when he was up there, because it's for others. It's for how they can benefit, how he can be of service. that it's not all about him. It just was, and it's really incorporated into what I do before I do live speaking events and things like that. I say it's not about me, it's about thee.
Yeah, that's really put in a perfect way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more. I'm curious about the meditation that you do in the morning when you talked about the alpha going to beta waves, correct?
Well, it's actually the reverse. We pretty much, once we wake up in the morning, we're in beta wave pattern. So when you do an EEG, you know, you look at the different wave patterns. And so during the day, when we're active and we're doing things, usually we're in beta wave. That's like the worker mode. And so when we rest and relax, when we meditate or we're sleeping, we shift. So the shift goes from the beta waves to the alpha waves, from the alpha waves to the theta waves. If we're sleeping, it goes into delta waves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, then we kind of cycle on through, depending upon how many cycles you have when you sleep at night. But usually meditation, you stay in alpha and theta. That's usually where you remain. Unless you fall asleep, which can happen. Then you're in delta.
It's my husband and always, he's an active meditator, but he knows the ones where he's going to kind of fall. He goes, I'm going to quote unquote meditate. And he falls asleep for like 20 minutes and then wakes up.
Right.
So do you listen to music at all while you're doing this?
I do. Well, I do so many different things. So I have apps that I listen to. I have Spotify that I listen to. I like to listen to the solfeggio, which is, you know, the healing tones. So I look for that. I also look for different music that shifts you faster into, you know, from the beta to the alpha to the theta. So it can shift you a little faster. I have a Muse headband, which I use often to tap into the biorhythms and do sort of a neurofeedback. I believe in biofeedback and neurofeedback. That's actually what helped my daughter heal.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when not too many people knew about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a multitude of different things, and it's always ever changing. You know, I read a fantastic book and I love that meditation. So I would incorporate that. I love Deepak Chopra. Mm-hmm. And all of his books I've read. I would call a voracious reader. I've been brain training myself. My goal is to read 1,000 words a minute with fantastic comprehension. I'm at 850 right now. So,
wow.
I'm working on it.
Wow. Impressive. I love how you're constantly, like, you're really setting goals for yourself constantly. Like you said in the beginning, you have your list of things that you want to accomplish, your goals, and then you kind of have like your shorter term and your longer term goals.
Yes. I believe in timelines. I think that they're such an amazing way to kind of set up your life for, you know, anything that you have planned. And the reason why I really like timelines is because I feel like an open-ended timelines, which means there's can be an arrow going in one direction and an arrow going in the other direction. And the reason being is sometimes we have to visit the past to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you have it kind of written out, you say, okay, I've done that, right? But I need to revisit that because that's going to help me down the line. So, you know, it's interesting when you pave your future like that. It also lets you use your past as a model.
Yeah.
And also lets you kind of revisit any mistakes that you might have. So you don't, you may repeat them. We all repeat them, right?
Yes, yes.
But maybe you're more aware, and maybe this time you learn something more from it. So
when you create these timelines, are they in a journal, or are you making a visual that you can see up on your wall or on the table?
Well, I do both. I actually want to, I did one actually, it was a 3-year one. timeline.
And I believe in doing a lot of things in threes. I was one of three kids. I have three kids, and I just have this connection with threes. So I did it for 3 years. And so the interesting thing is that was totally written out. So I set it aside and I kind of not forgot about it, but, you know, had the things in my mind. And then I pulled it out and I looked at the 3 years and I reached the end of the arrow. And then I said, time to rewrite. And I looked back to rewrite it. So I do actually have one that is in place that I can visually look at. But oftentimes I will look at it in my mind's eye that we talked about. You know, visit stuff, especially if I have something coming up that's big. I say, okay, what have I done in the past? How do I want to make it better? How do I want to improve on it? And what do I want people to learn from it, get from it, improve their lives? In what way? Mm-hmm. So always asking questions.
Always asking questions. So
always
then
asking questions. The brain is very curious. If you ask it a question, it wants to find an answer.
I love it. So ask a question, the brain wants to find an answer. So yes. when you're coming up with a block and you don't know what the answer is, that's our own self getting in the way, correct?
Usually, and sometimes it's because we're anxious about the question. We need to revisit it at another time when we're calmer and we can retrieve. Remember, once we're anxious about something, it closes off our prefrontal cortex, then we can't retrieve our higher level thinking. So that's why writing is so important, to jot things down. You know, keep your phone with you or wherever you can jot a few things down and then come back to it later when you can put a little bit more thought into it.
Yeah. That whole thing with morning pages is, that's something that personally is so helpful. And also for me, it's also helpful, and I'm curious to listeners as well. Like if I'm driving, I'll put on an audio recorder. And I'll just talk it out because it helps for me to speak it as well. So then I can go back and listen to it, and it could just be rambling. It could just be me talking and just being okay, and then just go on to another idea. But a lot just kind of flows out.
Yeah. And it is about getting that creative flow, those creative juices working for you. And some people say when they run, they can do that. You know, some people say when they are in the shower and they're just listening to the water trickling. It does that little shift in the brain. And even, you know, there will be a time where they can identify this. Right now, you know, we can identify the big wave patterns, but we've moved so far with being able to detect different things in the brain that will be a time where you'll be able to detect the smaller things, you know, and the shift in these creative juices and be able to visually see it. You know, there was a time I was so excited because I was trying to explain how important meditation is. And, you know, it's kind of poo-pooed because it's a time frame where you're kind of not doing anything. And people have a hard time with that.
Right.
You know, oh, I'm sitting here doing nothing.
Right.
Well, that's the beta wave driving you, right? So if there's slight things like mindful tasks, like shower, you know, and that water helps you just kind of wind down, whatever it is that can shift you a little bit, that's the things to key into, because that's when you can get those creative juices going. And, you know, then you can slowly start to accept the fact that meditation can actually have an impact on you and an impact on your life.
Yes.
You know, we have this nervous system, right, that is keyed up all day long. That's the beta waves. That's the, you know, fight or flight mode. And that is something that we can slow down, and we can use our parasympathetic nervous system and do that, you know, by deep breathing, by, again, meditating, maybe looking at the ocean, all these things can shift us into the parasympathetic system from the sympathetic system. When we do that, we move into the healing mode. The body starts to heal. That's a self-healing process we all can do.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, if you don't like a simple thing to have access to, if you have animals, is go pet your cat, go pet your dog. Like, when I get all caught up in my, like, myself, I'm just like, okay, Alice, either go outside, walk around, interact with a family member, you know, nourish my body with something to drink, go pet my cats. Yes. And then I'm just like, that's why they have, you know, animals coming into various settings in order to calm people down and make them feel good and smile. So I'll just be petting my cat and be like, okay. And then it's like that download comes. It's like, okay, I got it.
It's the neurotransmitters. Now they're working for you. You got your dopamine release, a little bit endorphins, you know, happiness going along with you. And it's all good. All that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is amazing. So let's do the third question. And then you're going to tell us how people can find you, because they need to talk to you. So third question is, to wrap it up and put it in a nice little bow, why is creativity important?
Wow. Well, I think we kind of talked about that throughout the whole time.
But we did.
Yeah. You know, we talked about the corpus callosum, you know, balancing out both sides of the brain, making not one dominant over the other. Oh my gosh. So I'm going to kind of sum it up, I guess.
Yes.
But actually, you know, speaking about that, you know, there's a part in my book where I talk about the balance of the brain. And there was a beautiful, beautiful picture that was created on the side of Northeastern College. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't, no.
Okay, this painting is by L. Mack, and it's called Ars e Scienza, which represents the happiness attained as she holds in one hand the sciences, represented by like a bolt of lightning, and in the other hand, she's holding a paintbrush. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. It's painted on the side of that building. And I remember I was with my son when we were visiting the college there, Northeastern College, and I stopped and I said, oh my gosh, I have to get a picture of this. And so I took a picture of it and I posted it on my Instagram and wrote a quote for it. And now it's in my book, because that's how we feel. You know, she's smiling. She's got, you know, this of course, the left side of the brain is the logic side of the brain, right? And that's supposed to be the male dominant side of the brain. And the right side of the brain is supposed to be the female side of the brain, the artistic side. And that is a bubble, I guess, basically in pink. So she's got blue and pink. And so I love that. I thought that that was just amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that, why I think creativity is important is because it touches all of our lives in some way, shape, or form, and makes us feel happy.
Yes, 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 yes. Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. So, Angela, can you please tell people how they can find you and connect with you?
Absolutely. So I have my Angela Setti website, which is angelasetti.com. I also have visionarymovement.com, but it's actually visionarymvmt.com. So there are two different ways you can reach me. Of course, Visionary Movement would be for our business. On Instagram, you can reach me at Angela Setti, or you can also reach me at visionarymvmt. I'm on LinkedIn, Angela Setti. I'm on TikTok, Angela Setti 3. I have a lot of good, you know, fear things and anxiety things that you might be able to tap into and utilize off of TikTok. And then I have my Twitter, which is Angela Setti 1. And then I also have my Twitter, which is Visionary MVMT. We kind of shortened it to MVMT because it was too long.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my book, Opening Our Minds to Our Brain's Potential, you can find that on Amazon. You can find that in Barnes & Noble's. Also, my website. I'm selling it directly on my website because I really want it to be able to connect with people.
Yeah.
If you purchase it on my website, what I do is I sign the book and I write a short message in there. That was my way to connect with the reader.
Well, I'm going to put all of these different ways to connect with Angela inside the bio of this podcast when it's posted. And Angela, I just want to thank you so much for taking this hour to speak with us and just be you. So much that you're putting out there. That's just incredible information.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Hollis. I think what you're putting out there is incredible information. And I just feel so honored that I was able to talk today. And like I said a million times, and I probably will say a million times over, I hope whatever I say, write, or do is in the benefit of anyone who could listen, watch, or incorporate into their life.
So beautiful. So listeners live, I want to thank you and acknowledge you. We appreciate you taking this time. We know time is precious. And those listening to the replay, please like, follow, and share so we can spread these stories and share and just get this all out there. This connection, it's what's needed in the world to really at the core make people happy. So please like and follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all of the places where you listen, because, you know, in all the analytics, it raises everything and it just spreads it so more people can hear. So we wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to talking to you again soon. So goodbye, everybody.
So long.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.